Paul here is the book of Philippians. It's a wonderful book of the Bible. In chapter 3, verse number 1, he warns us against putting confidence in the flesh. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. Your flesh will betray you every time you give it an opportunity to. And that's why Paul, back in the book of Romans, told us to give none occasion to the flesh. We mentioned this week, I think it was Uncle Joe and I were talking about folks that believe in sinless perfection. And listen, folks, I don't believe in sinless perfection until resurrection. Amen. Because that's when we will be incorruptible. Amen. But until then, if sin in Romans chapter 7 bothered the Apostle Paul, it'll bother you and I. And so listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're not to put any confidence in the flesh. And then Paul goes on to state his case. He says, listen, if you think you can put confidence in your flesh, let me just tell you a little bit about my pedigree. He said, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he goes on in verses 4, as you look at it there, it says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man hath, whereof he might trust. Hey, listen, I've been circumcised the eighth day. I'm the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, concerning zeal. And he goes on and on and on and on. And in verse 8 he says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, of whom I've suffered the loss of all things. And you want a verse, verse 10. It's not our text tonight, but I'll tell you, it's a tremendous verse. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. See, sometimes we read that, but we don't go back to verse 8. He says, listen, the reason that I got rid of things in my life, the reason I put aside weights, the reason I counted everything but loss, was that I may know Him. But he doesn't stop there. He talks about the power of His resurrection. Yes, how many of us, we want to know God in resurrection power. But he says, in the fellowship of His sufferings. Brother Howard, that separates the meat from the fat. Separates the men from the boys. It separates, if we could say, the wheat from the chaff. Listen, I don't know any Christian that says, I want to know God in the power of His resurrection. All of us want to know Him in that power. See Him bless. See a service like we saw tonight. But how many of us could honestly say, I desire deeply to know Him so much in the fellowship of His sufferings. I don't like to suffer. Somebody say amen tonight. No. Paul says that's part of how we get to know Him. And how many of you have found that in those hours of deep suffering and trial and agony, you get so close to Jesus? You feel like you could almost touch Him. You feel like literally a physical presence is in the room. Verse 11 says, if any means I might obtain the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained or were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend for that which I'm apprehended of Jesus. Paul said this. He said, look, I'm not perfect. I'm glad he said that. You know, I have many favorite Bible characters. The Apostle Paul is kind of low on the list. And you say, oh my goodness, Pastor, he wrote 14 books of the Bible. And I'll tell you why. He just sets the bar so high. I like Peter. How many of you like Peter? Always putting his foot in his mouth. I can identify with that. Amen. I can identify with his zeal and then lack of faith. Amen. Paul, sometimes it's hard, but he says this. He said, I'm not perfect, but I'm striving to be a better Christian. I'm striving to be closer to the Lord. And he was really, listen folks, in essence, he was striving to be more like Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, isn't that the goal of the Christian life? The goal of the Christian life is not to wear a suit or not to wear a long dress, amen. And I'm not against those, I'm for those things, amen. It's not to see who has the biggest King James Bible or who has the most notes in it. The goal is to be more like Jesus. And Paul says, here's how you do it. You want to live the successful Christian life? Press for the prize. Three quick things tonight, and I mean quick. You want to live a successful Christian? Hey, you know what, young people, those of you that mentioned this week, you've got brokenness in your life. You want it? Three quick things. Number one, forget past failures. Forget past failures. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 13. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. If you've ever wronged somebody, it hurts. You know you've done, you've hurt somebody in your life. It hurt. Listen, the Apostle Paul was... Listen, his mission when the Lord saved him was to not only persecute the church, but to kill Christians. And Brother Jeff, I think he did it. I think he made it possible for Christians to be racked and flayed alive and burned at the stake, amen, because they wouldn't recant. And you know what Paul says? This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Oh, I don't mean you casually live your life like some... Well, I just don't care who I offend. And listen, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. It's not talk. And I don't mean taking less of a stand for God. But I've said this. You can take a firm stand with a sweet spirit. You can do that. You can stand out. And listen, we live in a day where it's getting tougher and tougher to stand. God has been moving in my heart about preaching a message on standing and what we stand for here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. It's getting tougher and tougher to stand. The assault of Satan has come. But you listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. We're all going to fail God. And you can either let those failures and let those losses just mount up and eat you up, or you can give them to God and move on. I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, there's a reason why David said this and how we ought to be careful about sin. We ought to be careful about going on in presumptuous, because David said this. He talked to God in Psalm 51. It's one of my favorite Psalms. And he said, oh God, purge me with hyssop and cleanse me. He goes on and on. But he makes a statement. He says, you know what? My sin is ever before me. Do you know what, David? He remembered what he had done with Bathsheba. He had remembered what he had done to Uriah. He had remembered on and on. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, it tormented him. Now listen to me, young people and our families tonight. We've all failed. We failed each other. We failed in our relationships. You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to go to the altar and we're going to have to say, God, please forgive me. Help me to forsake this. And God, the Bible says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what that means? When you go to God, you get a clean slate. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Don't forget that God gives you a clean slate, but forget those failures. For you're going to have to learn to forget the past. Because, you know, thinking and thinking, living in past failures, living in the past, you use up a perfectly good present and ruin a perfectly good future by living in the past. I'm going to say it again. By living in the past, you use up all the present and ruin a perfectly good future. You can't live there. You can't get it back. Miss Marissa said that. I wish I could go back. You know what, sweetheart? You can't. All you can do is be a blessing from here forward. Amen. Forget those past failures. They're gone. They're in the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness. So forget past failures. Many of you know I'm a baseball buff. I don't know if my mom remembers this. When I was 15 years old, before there was Google and Baseball Almanac and that, I was literally going to write a baseball trivia book. I had about 500 questions. I was going to submit it. I used to give 10 questions every day to my English teacher. And he used to look at them and go, "Who knows this stuff?" It was just me. I just love baseball. I just love the history of baseball. One of the greatest moments in the history of baseball came in the 1960 World Series. The New York Yankees against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pittsburgh Pirates, here's Western Pennsylvania son over there saying amen. The Pittsburgh Pirates were grossly overmatched. When the Yankees beat them, they beat them like 14-0, 11-1, 10-2. But the Pirates eked out three wins, 3-2, 2-1. 5-4. And he got to the seventh game, and the game was tied. In the ninth inning, the bottom of the ninth inning, and there was a pitcher on the mound for the New York Yankees named Ralph Terry. And Ralph Terry came up against a little second baseman, probably why Brother Leonard's saying amen. He's our little second baseman, amen, on our softball team. And a little second baseman named Bill Mazeroski came up. And he hit the first walk-off home run in the history of the World Series. Knocked it out. 420 feet over the left field wall. 2 years later, the New York Yankees were playing the San Francisco Giants in the World Series. And wouldn't you know it, bottom of the ninth inning, one of the most devastating power hitters in the history of baseball came up, Willie McCovey. And do you know who was on the mound? Ralph Terry. The one who had given up the home run. And his manager, Ralph Houk, came out and he asked him, he said, "Do you want to walk McCovey? We've got first base open." He said, "I want to pitch to McCovey." And Willie McCovey hit the ball harder than Bill Mazeroski did two years earlier, but not quite as high, right to second baseman Bobby Richardson, almost took his glove off, and ended the World Series the Yankees won. You say, "Pastor, why'd you tell us that story?" I'm going to tell you what. If Ralph Terry would have been there in 1962 thinking, "Oh no, not again. Mazeroski got me last time. I don't know what's going to happen now." No, he said, I'm going to do my best to do my job and get this man out. He had to forget past failures. And listen, Christian, tonight, you have got to forget how you failed God. Just, you've got to forget it. I don't mean don't learn from it. Learn how weak your flesh is. Guard against it. But listen, leave it be. Forget past failures. Number two, not only forget past failures, but if you're going to live a successful Christian life, set present goals. Set present goals. And look what Paul says in verse 13 there. He says, "And reaching forth unto those things which are before." Reaching forth has the idea of stretching. Stretching. I got to tell you, in Christianity, we don't like to stretch ourselves very much. Listen, we don't. We've got our comfort zone, and that's good enough. Listen, God's not interested in good enough service. Didn't we learn that a couple weeks ago when Dr. Zachary talked about Malachi and how he said, "I'm tired of it. Just this polluted, once in a while, serve me service." That, you know, listen, God is not interested. Set some goals in your life. Say, "You know what? I'm gonna try to pass these out. I'm not just going to say, well, I think I'll try. I'm going to set a goal, amen. I mentioned this morning, I had one of the sweetest prayer times in my entire life this week. I came in on Friday, praise God, there was nobody here. Pastor Donald was up with the teens, Miss Kim was off on her anniversary. And I came into this auditorium in the afternoon. And I went through my prayer list. And my prayer list is alphabetical. And I probably need to rework this. But I went back there where Mr. and Mrs. Alcock sat. And I prayed for them, right where they sit. And then I went over to where Matt and Sarah Apple sit every week. And I prayed for them. And I prayed for Tim Barrett. And I prayed for the... And I went through the whole list where each one of you sit. It took me about an hour and 25 minutes. And I have to say, these pews are kind of hard. I hadn't noticed before, but you know, maybe we want to meet with the deacons about re-carpeting those or something. Amen. But I want to tell you how that happened, ladies and gentlemen. It didn't just happenstance. I had set a goal and said, God, I've got to pray for our people. I've got to pray. Listen, you'll never do anything for God if you don't set goals. If you don't set goals. You've got to set goals. Young people, listen to me, young people. We've got a Bible reading schedule here. Just start. Just start. You say, I don't think I could read the Bible through in a year. I found it's about 6 pages. 6 pages every day. Now you think about a novel or the paper or anything else that you could read. You read 6 pages like that. Amen. Set goals. Say, you know what? I'm going to try my best, even if it's once a month, to come out on visitation. Amen. And listen, I know Saturday's family time. Saturday's a time to take care of property. I understand all that. But listen, there's nothing better that you could ever do for your family than take them out on visitation. Show them that you care about what Jesus cares about, and that's sinners. Amen. Set present goals. And then stretch to attain those goals. Not only set lofty goals, but stretch. I think of right now Susanna Leonard. Susanna Leonard is in the United States Marine Corps. Susanna Leonard, and every United States Marine, has a level that they think that they can reach. And these rock-chinned, nasty-tempered drill sergeants have an entirely different level that they, and I'll tell you how they do it. They stretch them. They push them. Listen, let the Holy Spirit do that in your life. Let the Holy Spirit push you to say, you know what, off with the TV, into the Bible. Amen. Amen. Off with the social media, into prayer. And let the Holy Spirit do that. Forget past failures. Set present goals. And I like this. Lastly tonight, go get the future prize. Forget past failures. Set present goals and go get the future prize. Look at verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Two things. Settle for nothing less than the perfect will of God. I heard some of you young people, wonderful testimonies tonight. Settle, you heard deal or no deal. I'm sure that was an unbelievable message. The only way that you will not be in the perfect will of God is if you settle. It's the only way. I remember hearing Clarence Sexton years ago say, nobody can take your integrity from you. You have to surrender it of your own will. And it's the same thing with the perfect will. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your
reasonable.
And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think about people that are in deep harm's way. I think about missionaries in deep harm's way. But they're right, Miss Carol Ann, they're right in the center of the perfect will of God. You know who I always think about that in the Bible? I think of Daniel when he was in the lion's den. Listen, those hungry, ravenous lions had probably torn many a Jewish man to bits. And they were probably cracking the bones of those that had come before Daniel. And here comes Daniel, and they drop him in that lion's den, and I'm sure those lions kind of looked at him and said, and they got close. Probably couldn't figure out why they weren't hungry. Looked at him, circled around him. I'll tell you exactly why. He was right smack dab in the perfect will of God. Amen. Listen, young people, don't settle for the permissive will of God. The permissive. Say, what's the? Is there such a thing as a permissive will? Yeah, the permissive will of God gave us hell, didn't it? That's the permissive will of God. That God will permit us to go astray from Him. Oh, listen, stay close to Him. Stay close to Him. Forget past failures. Forget. You've got to forget past failures. You'll never advance in your Christian life if you don't forget past failures. Set present goals and stretch yourself to reach those goals. What a thrill it is at the end of the year. A teenager says, Pastor, you know what? Read my Bible this year. Read my Bible through. Had devotions every day. Oh, no, wait, Pastor, there was one day I didn't have it, but I made it up the next day. And then lastly, go get the future prize. He's the goal. Live your life to please Him. And you'll never go wrong. Father,